You've seen him on Love of the Deadly Show. You've seen him on YouTube. I want y'all to put your hands together, put your hands together, put your hands together. Give it up for Josh Johnson.
My most recent obsession is this court case, this lawsuit against Cardi B. All right. If you're not familiar with Cardi B, Cardi B is a rapper, and she is also a national treasure. Cardi B is incredible, and this case is pretty wild. Basically, what is being alleged in this case is that Cardi B assaulted a security guard. It's alleged that Cardi B assaulted the security guard, and you hear both stories throughout the case. The security guard's story is that she was at work, you know, securing the building. And then Cardi B walks in, and then she's like, oh, Cardi B. And Cardi B didn't seem to like that she was approached, that Cardi B was like, what are you doing right now? Why are you in my face? And that Cardi B got nasty with her very quickly. And so they were in the elevator together, and she said that she followed Cardi B out of the elevator to clear up any confusion. I don't know if it was to apologize or anything, but she admits that she did follow Cardi B into the elevator and out of the elevator. And then she said Cardi B really lost it and started cursing at her and everything, and then started swinging on her and stuff, and that she got a little nick on her cheek from Cardi B scratching her face, right? And then the receptionist and the doctor that Cardi B was there to see, because Cardi B was in the building for a doctor's appointment, that they broke up the fight, and then everybody went about their way, but because of this assault, because of this nick on her face, she is suing Cardi B for about $24 million. I'll tell you right now, for $24 million, Cardi B could cut up my whole leg, okay? If Cardi B chopped up my leg and gave it back to me in a bucket, I would be like, you'll be hearing from my lawyer. $24 million. That's crazy. So then Cardi B's account of things is that she was going to the doctor. At the time, she was pregnant. She didn't want anybody to know she was pregnant. She didn't tell anybody, and she didn't even tell her security guard where she was going that day, her personal security, because she was just trying to keep this whole thing private, right? And even the doctor's office had blocked out time just to make sure they didn't have other clients coming in back and forth, and Cardi B was going to be the last appointment of the day, right? So Cardi B shows up to the building, and then immediately she hears, Cardi B! And so already that's not ideal, right? Like, that could happen at any time. Cardi B is very famous. But then she is getting in the elevator, and then she notices the person who screamed Cardi B got in the elevator with her and has a phone in her face. And so she goes, what are you doing? Aren't you security? Because she had security on her hands. And then she's talking to her while she's in the elevator, and then she exits the elevator, and she says she can still feel this person behind her. So then she turns around, she's like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you recording me? You gotta get out of my face. I'm trying to go to the doctor. And then that's when the person who was recording her, the security guard, got real angry and was like, I could do what I want. It's my phone. This is my building, which is a misunderstanding of what security is. If that really was said, oof. I've never met a security guard who thought they were clocking in to own the building for a little while. But then they got into what Cardi B says was only a verbal altercation. There was the receptionist and the doctor that came into, I guess, the hallway to break things up. But she said, I didn't touch her. She didn't touch me. So I didn't really think of it again, you know, because if you don't know Cardi B, you should at least know that she's used to verbal altercations. I'm sure they don't stick with her. She was on Love and Hip Hop. And so then she just sort of goes about her life, and then she gets hit with this $24 million lawsuit. This whole thing, to me, just my opinion, but this whole thing feels like when that dude tried to sue Gwyneth Paltrow for millions. Remember that dude, Gwyneth Paltrow, if you aren't familiar with this, basically Gwyneth Paltrow went skiing one time, and then this other dude went skiing, and I don't know exactly how it went down, but I guess they bumped into each other at some point, and then the guy got up and he was like, wow, you're Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, I'm ruined.
No, because this is the thing. Coming after Cardi B seems like kind of easy in a lawsuit like this, just because she was on shows like Love and Hip Hop. And in Love and Hip Hop, there's a lot of this. In Love and Hip Hop, whether you're watching Atlanta, Hollywood, New York, there's a lot of almost fights. You know what I mean? Usually it is stirred up by the producers. They get everybody nice and drunk. And then they're like, hey, you won't believe what she said. And then they always believe what she said. And so, you know, Cardi B's been known to pretty much never back down. In fact, there was this old case. I don't think anything ever came to it in like a court sense. But Cardi B was doing a festival, could have been a concert, and somebody threw something on stage. You know, somebody threw like a water bottle. And this has happened a lot in like the past. I don't know. People lost their minds through COVID and everything. And now people sometimes even feel themselves throwing something on stage. I don't know if it's like to get a reaction out of the performer, and every performer has a different reaction to it. There are some people who, as soon as something gets thrown, they walk off stage, show's over, and they don't even try to continue. There are some people that try to dodge it, act like it didn't happen. There are some people that try to dodge it and then try to find the person who did it and get security to kick them out and everything. Well, basically, there was a time where someone threw a water bottle at Cardi B, and I believe she dodged it, but she must have seen who did it because she immediately threw the microphone at them. They probably thought Cardi B was going to be some easy pickings. They were like, I'll throw my water bottle now. She's clearly unarmed. And can I just say, throwing a microphone at somebody is one of the funniest projectiles to throw. Because it's the only one where you get to hear their reaction to something being thrown at them in real time. Imagine Cardi B throw a microphone right back at them and they're like, oh, is that a... Last thing the crowd hears before the show ends is a, whoa, watch out! Even better if they turned around, they threw the water bottle, they're like, I think I got it! And so, well, they had this court case, and I don't know. Cardi B better than me. If I were me, I'd be losing my mind right now. $24 million for... that's what she's alleging. Like, the security guard is alleging $24 million. I don't even think I got $24 million worth of head. I think even if I was in a horrific accident, I'd probably only get like 10, maybe. And that's with half the head missing. $24 million just feels insane. And so, you know, they go to court and Cardi B's got a lawyer, security guards got a lawyer, and security guard's lawyer does seem bad at this. I don't know the law. I'm not a lawyer. I don't even know some of the stuff they're saying. When they get into like the real nitty gritty, like the weedsiness of the law, I don't know what's happening, right? All I know from all my hours of watching Law and Order is that if you're talking, if you're a lawyer and you're talking in court, you're talking, right? And then the other side keeps saying objection, and then the judge keeps saying sustain, you're not exactly doing well. And that's what's been happening this entire trial. The judge basically sustaining the whole thing. Like, this lawyer for the security guard keep withdrawing his own questions mid-question because he can feel a sustain coming. And like, some of the questions don't have anything to do with anything. It's one thing if you're badgering the witness or you're really trying to like rile them up and get them to admit something, you're trying to catch them in a lie or something like that. It doesn't even feel like that's what's happening. This dude will just be asking questions that have nothing to do with anything or the case. It feels like he's just a Cardi B fan. The amount of times that Cardi B's lawyers have had to say objection relevance is astounding. He's asking her all sorts of questions. At one point, though, he gets back on track and he asks Cardi B, you know, you're saying that you felt threatened by my client. You know, the security guard says, client, you're saying you feel threatened by my client. I'm wondering why you feel so threatened. What was the issue? What was the issue? And then Cardi B says, I was pregnant and she's coming at me. I think she wants to beat me up and I'm pregnant. Hello? Hello? And then he goes, hello, hello. Hello, I'm here. And that's when it occurred to me that maybe what's happening is that this security guard's lawyer, maybe, just throwing it out there, potentially has never met a black person. I think if you've never met a black person in your life, and your first black person is Cardi B, that's a bit of a crash course. That would be like if I never met a white person in my life. Never met a white person, never talked to a white person, didn't even see one in a movie. Never met a white person. Then my first white person ever was Bill Nye the Science Guy. I think I might be walking away with some incorrect assumptions about white people. I think I go back home and tell all my friends and family, oh yeah, you know white people, they love space. No, they got a bunch of facts about turtles ready at the hip. Oh, and they love bow ties. Can't stop them from wearing a bow tie.
The only time I've seen something like this exact moment, this type of thing, this like misunderstanding in that way, was on a TV show called To Catch a Predator. Okay. I don't know if you remember To Catch a Predator, but in case you never watched it, this was some insane reality TV. Basically, To Catch a Predator, they did just that. They would lure and then trap predators online who thought they were talking to underage kids, right? And they would have all these long conversations with them, and then they try to meet up with them. But when they tried to meet up with them, they would go to like the sting house, right? And at this house, they would show up thinking they're meeting this underage person. Turns out they're meeting Chris Hansen. If you don't know Chris Hansen, you don't know Dateline. All you need to know about Chris Hansen was he was the To Catch a Predator predator. Ooh, you'd hate to see Chris Hansen coming if you were a predator. And so they would lure
these predators to this house. And then especially season one was like no other thing. Season one, when people didn't know what was happening, that was some of the wildest television I've ever seen. Because they didn't know who Chris Hansen was, all of them. Some of them did, right? But most of them did not. And so they'd show up to this house thinking that they're going to meet this underage kid. And they might even call out a name or something. Then Chris Hansen would walk in. Chris Hansen walk in holding some papers and everything. Now, because they don't know who Chris Hansen is, they think maybe this is the person's dad or something. So they immediately, they feel caught, but they don't know how caught they are. Right? So then Chris Hansen would walk in and be like, "Hi, how's it going?" And then he'd tell them to sit down, and they always sat down. Chris Hansen would sit them down, and then he'd ask them what they were doing here. And they'd try to come up with some sort of lie on the fly or something. And then he would ask them how they know this underage kid. And they'd try to come up with some lie on the fly, you know, something like that. And then Chris Hansen would be like, "Oh, that's interesting because I have the transcripts of your conversation." And no matter what color they were, you watched the color leave their face. And then Chris Hansen would ask them what they meant by certain things in the transcript to the messages and stuff. And these people would just sink. They were terrified, devastated, right? And then Chris Hansen would be like, "Okay, all right, you've answered all my questions. You can go." Yep. And even the predator would be like, "What? Really? Yeah, you can go. You can go." And they'd be like, "Oh, okay. I mean, I thought my life was ruined or something. All right." And then they would get ready to walk out. And when they walked out, they were immediately tackled by the local police department.
And not just tackled, like, like properly football tackled. This, like, this would have been unnecessary roughness in the NFL. This is the only time nobody's gonna take you to task over police brutality. You know what I mean? Because the police, to their credit, they would announce themselves and say, "Get on the ground." They were just saying, "Get on the ground," when they were already airborne. Like, police would be in the air, legs up. "Get on the ground." It's like, you know your shoulder about to be in his neck. They would tackle him and they'd cuff him up and then they'd throw him in the car and they'd take him to jail. And then in jail, they would go to the interrogation room and they'd have to answer all of Chris Hansen's questions all over again. I guess him asking was just practice. You know? And there was this one time where this guy comes in and I don't remember what season it was, but this guy had a very interesting aesthetic. Like he was white, but he had a very like Vanilla Ice vibe to him. Yeah, you know what I mean? And so he walked in, but when he walked in, he was like, Chris Hansen walked in, and then when Chris Hansen walked in and told him to sit down, he was like, I. And then Chris Hansen does the thing that he does, ask him why he's there, ask him why he's been talking to this underage kid and everything. And then a thing I forgot to mention before that also happened in all the episodes was when Chris Hansen finally announced himself, where he was like, "I'm Chris Hansen with NBC's To Catch a Predator," cameras would come out from all these different rooms, right? And it was always, without fail, too many cameras. It was always a number of cameras where I'm like, there's no way all those cameras on. There would be people with cameras in the hallway because they couldn't get in the kitchen just lifting the camera up. Be way too many cameras. And so then the cameras roll in once Chris Hansen announces himself. And then this guy sitting there pulls down his cap a little bit and says to Chris Hansen and all of the cameramen, "I'm not really trying to be on TV, you feel me?" Repeats it. I'm not really trying to be on TV. You feel me? You feel me? You feel me? And Chris Hansen, without missing a beat, this man says, I'm not really trying to be on TV. You feel me? And Chris Hansen says, yes, we are filming. And I haven't seen such a misunderstanding. Until the security guard's lawyer says to Cardi B, hello, hello.
Hello, yeah, I'm here.
That man Lucky, that man Lucky Cardi B, at no point in her testimony hit him with a okr like that.
That would have broken his brain. That would have ruined his life. He would have bent his knees. Oh, oh!
Everybody get out! What's happening?
No. Because once again, this dude is wild. This dude is asking her questions about things that have nothing to do with anything. At one point, I think he's really, in his head, he's having his, like, Perry Mason runaway jury moment. Like, he's doing something right out of Law and Order in his head, because he gets his planted stance. He starts going in on Cardi B, and he says,
today, versus yesterday, all right? Yesterday, you had short black hair. Today, it's long blonde hair. 2 days ago, it was long black hair. Which is it? I don't know why he thought he had her. That was incredible. I don't know what he. I think he expected Cardi B to be like, I don't know. Oh, oh no. What's happening? I thought he probably had some follow up questions ready. He's like, if you're changing your hair, how do we know when you're not changing your story? All right. Miss Cardamom Basil. If that is your real name. And Cardi B just laughed it off. She was like, they're wigs. Like, what do you want me to do?
And then, you know, he gets into the stuff that's more relevant to the case, and he's trying to grill her back and forth with question after question after question, and he finally gets to this point where he's like, why did you feel threatened? She says the pregnancy thing and everything, but he's like, you said yourself that my client is about your height. Why would you be intimidated by her? And then Cardi B goes, yeah, I mean, she's a little bit taller than me, but she, you know, she's bigger than me and everything. And I don't know what she wants to do. Now it seems like this person wants to beat me up. I don't know. Like, I don't know if they went from wanting a picture to beat me up or just wanted to beat me up and record. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. Right. And so then this guy goes, why are you so intimidated by it? You're saying that she's bigger than you. What makes you say that? And then Cardi B goes, do I have to say it? And then he's like, are you calling my client fat? Are you calling my client fat? All right. Did you call her fat that day? In fact, you called her fat that day, didn't you? And then Cardi B is like, no, I was only calling her the B word. Like, it was really just that. I didn't really have time for anything else. Yeah. You know? Sort of said that over and over again. Didn't really get to work in any other details. And this lawyer, I don't know, like, even this, even it's like now what we're getting into is stuff that I guess isn't nice, but I don't know how it helps his case, because then he just keeps egging it on. He's like, but you said that, and you said other things, didn't you? You said other things. And then Cardi B, to her credit, it starts admitting everything that she said, right? She starts just repeating verbatim in court. She just cursing in court openly, just nonstop cursing in court, right? And he's like, is that what you said? Say exactly what you said. I mean, she's right here, right now. Say it again. Say it to her face. Say it again. And then even Cardi B is like, what is happening? Like, you want me to curse her out again? Like, is this one like a freebie or something? Like, I can't tell what's happening. No, it's like, no, you were so threatened. You were so completely threatened by my client. You know, what makes you so threatened? And then she's like, well, at the time I was pregnant and I was 130 pounds. All right. And then she was like twice my size. You know what I mean? And then once again, he gets on the same thing. He's like, are you calling my client fat? And she's like, no, I'm not saying she just, you know.
No, what? I don't know. What are you trying to say? Say it. Say what you want to say. There's no harm here. Say it.
She's security heavy.
Much worse.
And this man keeps going. He's like, what do you mean security heavy? What are you trying to say? She's security heavy. What does that even mean? And Cardi B is like, you know, she built like she protect buildings.
If it were me and I was Cardi B, I'd probably be sitting there furious. Cardi B better than me, you know? I'd probably be sitting there so angry. I'm just trying to live my life. I was trying to go to the doctor privately. My business is always out there. People get paid to get up in my business and everything. And I'm just trying to have a quiet moment. I'm not feeling well. I believe was her first child and everything. No one knows that she's pregnant. And then this whole thing blows up and then she gets sued for $24 million. And, you know, she's better than me. I'd be sitting there furious at that lawyer. You know? And if I was a security guard sitting there watching this happen, I'd be furious at that lawyer. What are you doing? You're just getting me roasted in open court. This doesn't feel like it's getting me any closer to $24 million. Oh.
Because I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm better than anybody, okay? If times get tough, if things get rough for me, I run into George Clooney. It's just me and George Clooney in a hallway. I know I haven't been able to pay my rent or anything. Is his word against mine? I'm going to see George Clooney. I'm going to put my hand on the ground. I'm just going to... Ah!
Look at what George Clooney did to me! Why would Ocean's Eleven's George Clooney do this? I thought he was a good man. I can't believe that Ocean 12's own George Clooney would step on my head like this. What's that you say? He still owns the tequila company? Oh. Oh no. Who would have thought Ocean's 13, George Clooney, would be capable of something like this? I thought he'd be president one day. Nah, easily.
Easily. It doesn't have to be George Clooney. I don't even need, like, A-list. I really don't. If I see Neil deGrasse Tyson... Times are tough. I run into Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm throwing a bowling ball straight up in the air and catching it with my head. I was like, oh, no! I can't believe Neil deGrasse Tyson did one of Newton's laws of motion to me. I think it was the first one. Oh. Doesn't have any popular person will do, you know? If I see William H. Macy, I'm going to run into a wall like that dude from the show Fargo. I'm going to run right into... If I ever meet William H. Macy, he better pray we outside. Because if she's trying to get money out of Cardi B, you know, this is not the way. She over here admitting that she only got nicked. Just a little. That quick. That. And she said that she had to have 2 plastic surgeries. Even brought the plastic surgeon to court. And the plastic surgeon came into court with a picture, right? Now, the plastic surgeon, this is also why I feel like this case is bogus, because she doesn't have a picture of the scratch from the day that it happened. Her plastic surgeon had to come in and do a before and after picture. And honestly, I don't know if that dude a plastic surgeon. I don't see what he did. Like, it's... Even when they tried to show the cut, like the little scar that Cardi B supposedly gave her, maybe they didn't zoom in enough. Like, I don't know what's... But they had the little line pointing straight to it. And I'm squinting. It doesn't even look like Cardi B did $24 of damage. Oh, you try and get money out of Cardi B. This is not the way to do it. All you got to do is make sure y'all are still alone. The other problem, and the reason this whole case feels fishy, is because her lawyers, and I suppose even her, didn't want the receptionist or the doctor that broke them up testifying. That seems suspicious. If I got $24 billion worth of damage done to me, I'd call everybody who was within earshot. You know what I mean? Oh, you heard me. You remember. I was like, oh no, $24 million just fell out of my face, right? So the fact that her lawyers didn't want those people testifying seems fishy. And then you kind of understand why. I don't know if she was a fully, like, surprise witness or anything, but I know they were trying to block it for a long time. And so the receptionist finally sits down on the stand and testifies, right? And the security guard's lawyer is over here asking just all the relevant questions, right? And some of the questions are getting objected to and then sustained because they're a little leading. You know what I mean? Like he asked a question about how wasn't it my client's job to see fit who should and should not be in the building? And then obviously Cardi B's lawyers objected because how is the receptionist for one office building in this entire building supposed to know all the ins and outs of this security guard's job, right? And they get to this moment where the receptionist comes out because she says that she heard a commotion, and she gets out there and Cardi B is up against a wall like this, like back up against the wall, and security guard is yelling in her face, right? And so then she, immediately upset by what she's seeing, gets in between the two of them and is breaking it up and tells the security guard, I don't know what's going on here, but you need to go back to your post. This is very unprofessional, everything. And everybody's screaming just so everybody can be heard, right? And the lawyer gets excited. He's like, and so do you think that this could be the moment that Cardi B scratched my client's face? And then the receptionist goes, actually, I'm really the only one that got hit out of the both of them. Like, I was... You know, you try to be a good Samaritan, but... And not only does she say that she's like the only one that got hit between them, but she got a scratch on her face, a scratch that bled, and a scratch on her face that bled that came from the security guards. You could tell the lawyer's out here panicking. He's... Whoops. Okay. All right. And so then he starts, in my opinion at least, sort of like badgering her a little bit with questions to try to like double back from the fact that now it looks like the only person that may have assaulted someone is his client. And so he then says, he's like, yes, but you also weren't there the entire time, so you didn't witness the entire altercation. Maybe Cardi B spit on my client before you got there. Maybe she scratched her face before you got there, but you got there and you broke it up and you say that you didn't see anything. But maybe something happened before you got there. You don't know. You don't know. And then the receptionist was like, yeah, I guess I didn't know what it was like to be there till I was there. Yes, I suppose. Like, you got me there. Because it's not just the scratch, I should point out. The scratch is the main thing, but the security guard is also, to my knowledge at least, alleging that Cardi B got her fired as well. You know? And then they had the doctor testify. And I won't say that the security guard's lawyers tried to poison the jury, because they were pushing a narrative the entire time. And the narrative was that obviously the receptionist and the doctor would back Cardi B because she was a client of theirs, a patient. So it benefits them to back up her story, right? And they even say as much while the two people are on the stand, you know? But then the receptionist says, no, actually, the security guard hit me up and said we should sue Cardi B. And I was like, nah, because you started it. Which is also not great for a security guard's lawyer. He's over here. Okay. Well, look. Nothing further. And then they had the doctor testify. Now, the doctor was the last to sing, so by the time he comes out, the receptionist is getting in between Cardi B and the security guard. So he said he was also very upset about what was happening, you know, and he was trying to make sure this thing got broken up. Now, the doctor said, look, what I saw wasn't just unprofessional, it was very concerning to me. And I got out there, and the only thing I could think to do was try to match the body language of the security guards. I don't even know what that means, but I imagine it means he ran up out there, he saw three people arguing, and he was like, hey! Cut that out! Because by his own account, it's not like he the one pulling people from people or anything. Reception has already broken it up and taken some punishment. And so, and then took Cardi B in. They had their appointment and everything. And then he was so disturbed by what happened and what he saw that he reached out to Superior for the security guard and, you know, said that soon after that, she was taken downstairs during a shift and, like, let go, right? And that also doesn't look great for her case, because she alleges that Cardi B got her fired, and now this dude in open court was like, no, it was me. It was me. It was me. It was me 100%. And I guess I'm just coming from a place of, like, if you really wanted to sue Cardi B for $24 million, you don't wait until there's other people involved that are all going to have different accounts of what happened. If you wanted to sue Cardi B for $24 million, you just walk up to Cardi B before she gets in the elevator and say, "Hey, Cardi B, how you doing?" And then throw yourself down some stairs.
That's going to be the easiest way to do it, you know? Throw yourself down some stairs all the while screaming out Cardi B singles for every step that you hit.
You finally hit that last step. You're like, "Oh, why would top charting artist Cardi B do this? Oh, she's really about that life. These are bloody shoes."